Kitty Woodley. She is the manager. She is management and program analyst for the education department. She has gone above and beyond her duties to create a blog to highlight the success of her coworkers. And the blog is called Senior Fellows and Friends. It connects federal employees and industry with support groups, all sorts of wonderful stuff. And she is joining us right here live in studio, along with our senior correspondent, Mike Causey.
Here we are.
How cool is this that we get to meet these
extremely,
folks?
Extremely, extremely. I mean, this is for real. And I want one of those awards, too. they are very classy.
They're very nice, aren't they?
Well,
let me pull this close, by the way. You need to get so it's, if the big furry microphone feels like it's about to bite you, that's about when it's right. There you go.
Okay.
Thanks for coming in.
Well, thank you for having me, Chris.
So talk to us a little bit about what you do at the Department of Education.
Well, what I do now is support the Deputy Assistant Secretary for Performance Improvement, and that is a position in the Office of Management. The Office of Management, like similar parts of other cabinet agencies, does things like personnel, which some of us call human capital, some of us call human resources, but it's really the people management piece, the hiring, onboarding, retention, that paying them, and things like that. And also regulatory information management, things like FOIA, yeah, and also facilities management. So all of the sort of nuts and bolts activities that help an agency run.
Sometimes they call them back end, all the back end processes and systems, the stuff that really makes the organization work.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And many people consider it outside is the most dull part of it, and in fact, it is. It's the people side of
but
it.
But as you well know, if that stuff doesn't work, is the rest of the organization, it's impossible to do effectively.
And it's funny that people will criticize government for putting an emphasis on that, but then just mention some gossip at their particular private sector office, and they're all ears.
Yes,
you
got to
know how it's working and who's happy.
Why? Did you hear something?
Yeah, I'll tell you later.
Oh, okay.
Your parking place is gone.
Okay. Tell me about the Senior Fellows and Friends. What is this? How did this come about?
Okay. Actually, and the blog is a fairly new invention. Senior Fellows and Friends was an idea I had about 8 years ago, or maybe seven. I was at the Council for Excellence in Government waiting for an event to start, and I started talking to Jim Trinka, who's the Director of Technical Training for the Air Transport Organization at FAA. He was at IRS at that point. He had been doing some very interesting work with IRS middle managers. And so about the time I was really getting into what he was doing, and he was telling me all about it, we had to sit down and stop because the event was getting ready to start. So I asked him if he wanted to have dinner with me, and he said sure, and gave me his card. And a couple of weeks later, I thought, well, I bet you some other people would like to go too. And I had just graduated from the fellows program at the council, and so I called some people up, and 10 of us went to dinner with him.
Wow.
In Arlington. And I really was just thinking that was it. But then about 3 weeks later, somebody called me and said, hey, when are you going to do that again? That was fun. And so essentially since then, I've been meeting people that I think are interesting, that are doing good work for the public, and asking them if they would like to have dinner with other people who are also interested in improving government. And we do that a few times a year. I have a big mailing list. It's real easy to get on it. All you have to do is want to make government run better.
Mike, how do we get on this list?
Yeah.
I want to know who gets the check before I go any further with this.
See, that's the other thing. This is really just shoestring. So the only expensive thing is finding the venue. And I've got now a venue that I've been using for about 3 years, which is in the what used to be the USDA Graduate School, which is now the Graduate School.
Right.
Which is at 600 Maryland Avenue, and there's a Vita France in there, and they have a meeting room, and they'll serve in there. So I reserve that meeting room.
But the great thing, and it comes through sometimes in conferences, if you're very lucky, you get that almost aligning of the planets where you get the right people together and people who feel comfortable enough together to share ideas. And when that starts happening, that real collaboration starts happening, wow, it's just, it's incredible, isn't it?
Yes, it feels really good. And that happens almost every time at this point. It's very interesting because the right people sort of precipitate out of this network of 500 or 600 people to be at that event. And it's bounded. It's always informal. There are never more than 36 people there because that's how many people the room holds.
Right.
The person who comes to speak and then lead a discussion, I don't pay honoraria. So those people really want to talk about whatever it is. And
what kind of topics do you choose somebody? I mean, this sounds almost, we have the Federal News Radio Book Club here where I try and do something like mm-hmm. that, where we get some smart author and then a couple feds together and talk mm-hmm. about how this all can help us do our jobs
right.
better.
It's probably a lot like that. And lately I've been showing people, sort of asking the question, okay, what is this? So for instance, I'm going a little farther afield. I think that in order to be effective federal leaders, whether people are supervisors, managers, executives, or individual contributors, you can lead from wherever you are, but you have to kind of understand the ecosystem that you're in.
Yeah.
So for instance, right now, the Crystal City Business Improvement District is doing some phenomenal work, really phenomenal. They have been for the last year or two, it's been building. And so I thought, well, you know, I should call Angela Fox up and see if she'd like to come. But so part of it is just getting people, because what you're really trying to develop, I think, is big picture systems thinking and really understanding all the players so that you're not doing anything, any government work in isolation, because the problems are too big. The solutions aren't good enough if you're doing them in isolation at this point.
Mike, I know you've seen this through the years. This is essentially almost mentoring. And sometimes that kind of relationship, it can be very special and very powerful.
It seems to be a great thing, and you've obviously got to get mentors that want to be in on it and see that there's some benefit to them, too, that they're not being pushed aside. But I was thinking how interestingly old-fashioned this is, you know, in a time of balkanization and everybody's off doing their thing and watching their particular channel and listening to their iPod and all that sort of thing, that you actually bring people in and get to meet each other. You know, a lot of people think that one of the main problems with the political process today on Capitol Hill is that these members don't know each other. They literally don't know each other. They spend 3 days a week in Washington and then head out. And maybe you should organize a lunch club for them.
You're right on the hill, right? Yeah. Well,
she's making world peace.
Yes.
Yeah. The interesting thing about that, and I really love technology too, and have been sort of tracking social media and trying out different things for the last 2 years, but Carol Ouellette, who was GAO's chief learning officer until she retired in January, told me, she said, what you've got going there is a 17th century French salon. And I went, yeah.
And it worked.
It worked
for them.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's really interesting because I think it's a both and. And I think that we can do Gov 2.0 and social media, and we should, because it's permanent, it's not going away. And I think that there are certain things that get a lot easier once you sit down and break bread with somebody.
Yeah. And these tools are really, I think, to be additive. They don't replace actually talking to people or picking up phones or they should be additive, and so they work well in some ways. We'd like to ask folks, so how long have you been a Fed, and why'd you choose public service?
Well, I've been a Fed, it will be 16 years in September, and I have to tell you, I'm always a little embarrassed by this. It basically was an accident because I was out of a job. And I was a college financial aid director for a long time. And my school, my last school closed in California. And I was out of work for maybe 5 months. And then a job opened up in the San Francisco office. And it was going and doing site visits of college financial aid operations in colleges and universities. So essentially, it was going from one side of the desk to the other side and reviewing the kind of work that I had been initiating as a financial aid director. So I thought I could probably do that, and they thought so too, and they hired me. And then a couple of years after I did the traveling and program reviewing, I moved to Washington to do some other jobs.
Is that the most honest answer we've ever gotten? I needed a job, period.
It's fantastic. Yeah. It's fantastic. Well, and one of the things, and we were talking to Nick Gruen, who is leading the Australia Government 2.0 Task Force. Uh-huh. They wrote this report, and it said that this period of time, and particularly with these tools that are out there, can really empower feds at every level.
Yep.
As you said, leadership happens at every level. To do things, it seems to me this is a really, it's a tough time, but my goodness, what a great time to be working in public service.
Yeah, it's crisis and opportunity, really. Yeah. And the other thing I think that it does is it pushes people to show up, the feds. It really won't do.
Care about what you do.
Exactly, to care and to show up.
Yeah. Have you presented the award already?
No, in fact, I've got to go find it. Emily Jarvis had it. It's the last I saw. And
it's on the, it's she, a, we hope that it's not on Mike's desk, because Mike has did you get to see Mike's desk?
No, I didn't.
Oh, my
It's the Dewey Decimal Filing System.
Well, I happen to know the Dewey Decimal.
Okay, yeah. Well, then it's not that.
There you go.
Work? How about Cyclonic? Does that work?
Kitty Woodley is the Management and Program Analyst. She works for the Education Department. We have a link to more information about her, why she won, much more information. We also have a link to all of our COSI Award winners. In fact, earlier in the week, remember, we got to talk to Sabrina Siegel from the Agency for International Development. She actually helped to create this collaborative platform for government ethics. Wonderful, wonderful. It's just been great to talk to all you folks this week. So congratulations.
Thank you.
Have that and all that information, DoraBeckInsider.com, which you can find right from federal. News Radio.com. Thank you for coming in here.